right. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for being here tonight. I don't know about you, but I am grateful that God has blessed us with a fantastic music team, a really good orchestra. I know that it's a huge encouragement to me. In fact, when Sarah and I were overseas, it was one of the things we often talked about was the music here at Good Shepherd. And that's something that we can be grateful to God for. It is for God's glory that we have that, but it's something that we too can be grateful for. Well, it's Missions Night, and as you can see on the board tonight, I want to be a little bit more practical with you. I think honestly, for the majority of us, we want to be a help. We want to get involved. But perhaps we're a little bit unsure about how we can be most effective in supporting, in loving our missionaries. And maybe because we're a little bit nervous about that, we're afraid to step out, maybe we just sit back and we don't quite commit as much as we could do. Tonight we're going to take a look at Paul's experience as he describes in Philippians 4, as he writes to a supporting church, as he thanks this church that supported him. And I want us to ask ourselves tonight, how can we? I want you to ask yourself tonight, how can I love our missionaries better? How can we have a practical love? Both from the context of our church, how can we as a church have a practical love, but how can we as individuals, as believers, how can we have a practical love for our missionaries? Go ahead and turn with me, if you've got your Bibles there, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start off in verse 10, and if you have read this before, I'm sure you have, you'd see this is a little bit like a prayer letter from Paul. It's almost like he's written the first part of his letter to these believers as an encouragement, and now he's writing his prayer letter at the back end of this letter. Let's read this together, Philippians 4, verse 10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but only thee. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Let's open in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, tonight I need you. Father, we need you. Father, tonight as we hear your word and Father, as you work on our hearts tonight, Father, I pray that we'd be challenged, that we'd be encouraged to love our missionaries better. Father, I pray that we would take this personally. It wouldn't be just a generic, the church does this, but I am committing personally to supporting and to loving, to caring for our missionaries. Father, use me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the starting point is this. If we're going to have a practical love for our missionaries, We have to understand God's heart for the mission. If we're going to love those that are going out, that we're sending out, we ourselves have to understand God's heart for the mission. And perhaps there's a bit of misunderstanding in this for us. You know, I could count over the years, I couldn't count how many times growing up on the mission field, going to missions conferences, living back in PNG over the last 10 years that I've heard the Great Commission preached. And I think that like I did for many years, we sort of have this mental picture that the Great Commission preached by Jesus in Matthew 28 is where it all started. That was sort of the origin, the start point of missions. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Perhaps our understanding is that that is where God laid out the plan. That's what we tend to think when it comes to missions. As though all of that time with the nation of Israel leading up to Jesus, that Israel, that the law was plan A, but somehow that fell apart. And now church is plan B. Understand this, God has one people, not two. And from the beginning of time, God has had one purpose for man, and that is that man would have a right relationship with him and glorify him. In Isaiah 43:7, it tells us, I have created him, I have created man for my glory. Ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God's heart has been to draw man to himself, to put in place ways for man to fellowship with him. Here, let's get a little bit practical. As you work through your Bible reading plan, and I hope you have a Bible reading plan. As you work through your Bible reading plan, take note of how many passages relate to God's promises, not just for Israel, but for the nations. When we read with a mission mindset, we very quickly discover that the Great Commission in Matthew 28 is not the start of God's heart for missions for mankind. It is the extension of his ancient redemptive plan. If we go all the way back to the beginning, and hey, that's a great place to start, in the beginning, we see that God created us for a purpose, and that purpose hasn't changed to this very day. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created us in his image so that we would display, so that we would reflect, so that we would communicate who he is, how great he is. We would communicate what he's like. We were created as instruments of worship to God. And tonight we heard the orchestra and we heard the singing glorifying God. Well, we as people, we as a church, we as believers are created as instruments to glorify God. Even after the fall, God remained committed to blessing all the families of the earth through his promise. In Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families of the earth, that's us. In Genesis 22:18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We haven't even gotten out of Genesis yet, and already we see God's desire, that mission for mankind has been there since the very beginning. If we were to take the time tonight and to look through Exodus, we'd see that why the plagues are there, so the Egyptians would know that he is God. And we can keep going. Look at 1 Kings 8:43. I think it's going to come up here. 1 Kings 8:43, "Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth of thee, for that all people of the earth may know thy name to fear thee, as do the people of Israel, that they may know that this house which I have builded I called by thy name, that all the people of the earth may know thy name, fear thee." Verse 59, "And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require." Verse 60, "that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else." Psalm 67, verse 1, "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and to sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth." Hey, we could keep going. There are hundreds of references all throughout the Old Testament where it says that all people, that all nations, that they may know that I am God. God's mission didn't start with the Great Commission. The mission was and always has been and always will be to draw people unto himself. The first thing we as a church, we as individual believers need to do to love our missionaries is understand God's heart for the mission. We do that in part by reading our Bibles with a mission mindset. Let me give you an example before we move on to the next point. In the military, when there is a mission to be completed, there are individuals that go out on the mission, but then there's also all of the support staff, the people that provide the food, the people that provide the bullets, the people that provide the indirect fire support. There's all of the people around the periphery that support the mission. And they need to understand the mission just as much as the people in the mission. Why? Because how do you support if you don't understand what's going on? We as believers here need to understand God's heart for the mission if we're going to love our missionaries best. And we need to take that personally. Come back to Philippians 4 with me. Let's be practical in our approach to missions as a church, as individuals, and understand it isn't just a church responsibility. You know, it's great that we as a church take on missionaries, but it's not just a church responsibility to love our missionaries. It's an individual responsibility. And you have a part to play in the mission. Do you understand that? Does that grasp you? That you have a part to play in God's mission. It's not just the people that are on that board back there that have gone overseas or gone other places in Australia or travel on the weekends. It's not just those people. Each person here has a part to play in that mission. Tonight, first, we must understand that God's heart is and always has been this mission. We must read our Bibles with that mindset. But now look back at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, and let's get really practical here. There's a letter from a missionary writing back to a supporting church. Philippians 4, verse 10, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Here's the first or the second point care for your missionaries to such an extent that it brings God glory and them joy. Care for your missionaries to such an extent that it brings God glory and them joy. In Colossians 3, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. When we're supporting our missionaries, when we're supporting men that have gone out from our church, when we're supporting people that have come and told of God's calling on their life, do we support them from the standpoint of doing it heartily unto the Lord? Hey, this is God's mission. And when you value what God values, God is glorified. Care for your missionaries to such an extent that it glorifies God. Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Their care for Paul brought Paul joy. But it also glorified God. Hey, let's get real for a moment, maybe a little bit personal. Being a missionary can be a pretty lonely place. Often you're immersed in a totally different culture, a different language, a language that you had to learn in order to teach the Bible. Different foods. Maybe we sit here and we go, hey, I go out and I eat Thai and I eat Chinese and I even go to that fancy Mexican place and, hey, man, it can't be too bad being overseas and being a missionary. They get to eat all that good food, right? And maybe we have a little bit of that mindset, but when that's your food and it's not what you're used to, that gets a little bit tiresome. Often you look completely different. You stand out. You never quite fit in, and let's be honest, that can be really hard. It can be discouraging. Most of the time you're separated from extended family and from friends, and that means you don't get to be there for those big moments, for the childbirths, for the weddings, for the birthdays, for the graduations, for the milestones. It also means that when you have a milestone in your family as a missionary, you often celebrate it just in your small group. Because the people around you, the people that you've been called to minister to, often don't understand. Because our celebration, as Westerners, really our celebrations are not often the same celebrations that are in other places. Sometimes you just crave something familiar. Maybe just the ability to speak to someone in your own language. Maybe to eat food that you grew up with. Maybe it's as simple as singing worship songs in your own language within your own church that sent you out. We take that for granted. Here, let's be a bit practical. Maybe write these down. Get to know your missionaries. Get to know your missionaries. We walk past that board back there week after week. How much do we know about those people? If you grab the card, for some of them, there's a birthday on there. Maybe there's a little bit of a picture of where they are, what country they're in. Maybe there's some names of their kids on there, but how much do we know our missionaries? Get to know them. Perhaps choose a missionary family that you will care for. Or maybe your family will care for. I'm not talking about supporting them financially at this point. I'm talking about caring for them. Write them a letter. Get to know them. Get to understand what they like, what they dislike. Get to understand what drives them. Ask them about birthdays. Ask them about favorite foods. Ask them about those things. Get to know them. Maybe after a little while you could FaceTime them. Actually see what they look like. Maybe you're saying, but I don't know them. That'd be weird. And it'd be just strange for me to reach out randomly to someone. Guess what? These people are in the business of meeting weird people. And you're not on the top of their weird list. Yeah? Find out what they like. It's not always about needs. In fact, most of the time, care isn't about needs. Birthdays, anniversaries, favorite food, what they can't get where they're at. Toiletries. Yeah, we lived in PNG for 10 years. We bought all of our toiletries here and took them back to PNG. Not because they didn't have it, but because what they did have didn't work. Deodorant was just a can of compressed air. Somebody had waved a mint leaf over the top of it or something. It didn't work. We bought all of our toiletries here and take it back. Wouldn't it be great if somebody just said, hey, what is it that you need? I'll send you stuff. I'll send you a care package. Is there a food? Maybe they really like Vegemite. And that's an amazing thing. As an Australian, we can really think, hey, that's great. Find those things that they don't get and maybe put a care package together and send it to them. We want to care for our missionaries. Figure out when their birthdays are, when their kids' birthdays are. You know, often for missionaries, one of the places that they sacrifice personally is with their kids. And maybe if they're back here and they were able to go to the shops and buy birthday presents and things like that, but often in a missionary, in a mission field setting, they don't have that option. How caring, how loving of us would it be to ask them, hey, When's your kids' birthdays? When are your kids graduating? When are your kids got special moments? And how can we help you with that? And maybe you send a gift and you don't even send it from you. You send it to mom and dad and you say, hey, you give this to your kids from you. I know for my parents growing up, on the mission field, often the thing that encouraged them most was when people looked after their kids, when people treated their kids just a little bit special, when people gave their kids moments that they couldn't give for themselves. Do spontaneous things for them. Hey, we're just talking about care here, right? Do spontaneous things for them. Number three. Look at Philippians 4:14 with me. We care for our missionaries to such an extent that it glorifies God and it brings them joy. But now look at that, 4:14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but only thee. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Here's the third point tonight. Be in it through thick and thin. Show genuine concern. Be in it through thick and thin. Show genuine concern. Sometimes it's easy to show care. Hey, I want to send a gift package. I want to send something special for you at this Christmas. I want to send something for your kids. But how often are we in it for thick and thin, and how often do we show concern? Do you know when things are tough for them? Do you know when they need something the most? We should. We should love them that much and be communicating with them that much that we know when they're going through battles. In battle, when you're bogged down, when the enemy seems to be surrounding you and everything seems to be bleak, you need to be able to depend on those that aren't in the thick of the battle with you. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes when you're just bogged down, you got blinkers on and all you can see is your problem, you need somebody that's standing outside of your problem that can go, hey, I can see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Or maybe I don't have any answers at all, but guess what? I'm gonna get in there with you. And I'm just gonna walk with you, and I'm just gonna pray with you, and I'm just gonna trust God with you. Be there through thick and thin. Be concerned for what they're concerned about. In 2008 in Afghanistan, we were conducting operations in a valley that had a very strong enemy presence. Force after force had gone into this valley and they tried to conduct operations, but everybody kept getting pushed out of this valley. We knew that that was the case, and we'd been sent to a patrol base at the head of that valley and told, we need you to clear that valley. Every day we'd step out of the patrol base and we'd be engaged by the enemy. Usually the enemy would fire a few shots and they'd run away. We had the support of a foreign nation who will remain nameless, but a foreign nation who would patrol alongside of this, and they would maintain the high ground, the mountains on the side of this valley, and they would provide overwatch for us, and then they would provide indirect fire support or even direct fire support in some cases to suppress the enemy if we came under too much attack. That support was vital to us. Their job was to remain somewhat unobserved and then to engage if we were attacked. On one particular patrol, we were engaged by a large enemy force, larger than we'd encountered before. The enemy began to encircle us all the way around us. So we called for support from the fire support team. And we waited. But that never came. We never received the support we needed. Instead of attacking from the flank, the fire support remained silent and unobserved by us and unobserved by the enemy. We managed by the grace of God to fight our way through the enemy and to get back to our patrol base. When the debrief occurred and the support team was questioned about their whereabouts, they stated they hadn't engaged the enemy because they were afraid of exposing their position to the enemy and being attacked themselves. Friends, if you're going to love your missionaries, be in the fight through thick and thin. Yes, it's going to open you up to the enemy. Yes, you are going to draw fire from Satan, but be in the fight through thick or thin. Make it personal. We often think about partnering, or we speak about partnering with our missionaries, and we're proud to display their prayer cards on the back wall of our church there because it makes us look good. How often do we make it personal? Sometimes I think we wear our missionaries as a badge of honor. We tell their stories for them. Maybe we pray for them, but how often do we fight to support them? Are we in it through thick and thin? Is your heart, your pain is my pain? Your hurt is my hurt. Your burden is my burden. God's mission is my mission. Let's get practical. Go beyond the prayer letters and the social media. Understand what I'm saying? get beyond prayer letters and social media. If that's our only connection with our missionaries, how are we ever going to demonstrate love other than maybe giving them a thumbs up on Facebook? Get to know them. We said that a little while ago. Get to know their struggles. What's impacting their ability to stay on task, stay on mission? What's distracting them? What can you do? What burden can you carry? And just like us, they have family issues. They have health issues. They have kids who grow up and leave home. I've seen more missionary families struggle with that exact thing than anything else. They get to that point where their children are at an age where they're now leaving the country that they've spent together and fought together in for so long, and all of a sudden the kids are leaving home. And so often that's when Satan gets in and attacks. They have spiritual attacks. They have dark days. Sometimes, like you and I, all they need is an ear and someone to show heartfelt concern. But we've got to get beyond prayer letters and social media. We've got to reach out to them. We've got to get in touch with them. And let's be honest, if somebody writes to you straight away and said, hey, tell me all of your concerns, the first letter back to them isn't going to be overly honest, is it? It's probably going to be a little bit like this. Hey, thank you for reaching out. Really appreciate you. Please just keep praying for us. But over time, as you're consistent, as you stick beside them through thick and thin, those prayer letters are going to be more detailed. Those letters to you personally are going to be more detailed because they value your support. You have a role in this mission. When Paul writes to the Philippians, actually, look at chapter 1. And Paul writes to the Philippians at the very start there, verse 2. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. Not only would we love to get a letter like that, but as Paul says here, you're on my mind. You're in my heart. You're in my prayers. That should be our heart for our missionaries. Friend, you're always on my mind. You are continually on my heart. I pray for you not generically, but specifically all the time because I love you. When was the last time your heart broke with the heart of a missionary? When was the last time you sat and listened as they told of a struggle, as they shed a tear? When was the last time you offered a kind word, wrote an encouragement, petitioned for them in prayer? Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if on a Wednesday night when Jewel gets up and he's forgotten his pencil and his prayer list and he asks Julie where it is and then he asks for prayer, somebody would stand up and say, hey, I spoke to missionary so-and-so this week and hey, they were praising the Lord for this. Or I spoke to missionary so-and-so and they're really struggling with this. Wouldn't it be great if on a Wednesday night we had two or three people standing up going, hey, I spoke to so-and-so, and hey, I spoke to so-and-so. What an encouragement that would be for our body. And what an encouragement it would be for them. to not understand God's heart for the mission. Look for opportunities to care and to bring joy. Be in it through thick and thin. Show genuine concern. And here's the fourth one tonight. Your heart for the mission is never greater than when you sacrifice personally. Your heart for the mission is never greater than when you sacrifice personally. Look at verses 16 through 19 there. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Paul's referencing back to the Old Testament sacrificial system here as he speaks, and how God would react to a pleasing sacrifice. It'd be a sweet scent to his nostrils. And we see that over and over again, particularly in Numbers. And here's what Paul is saying: I got the stuff you sent me, and it was an encouragement to my heart, but most of all, it was pleasing to God. That should be our heart towards our missionaries. I want to sacrifice personally for you because it pleases God, because I love you, because it brings you joy. It knits my heart together with yours and with God. Let me finish with three practical things we can all do within the context of sacrificing. The first one is this, and you already guessed it, commit financially to supporting a missionary personally. Commit financially to supporting a missionary personally. Now, I know when we start talking about money, and really there's two topics that everybody turns off to. When we start talking to them, don't talk about how I raise my kids and don't talk about how I spend my money. Yeah? But let me help you here for a moment. God blesses that sacrifice. Paul says it this way, fruit that may abound to your account. Now look what else he says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Not my God supplies all my needs. Paul already knows that. My God will supply all your needs. His encouragement is that as you sacrifice for the mission, God's mission, and you support those that God has sent out, God honors that. As a church, we have missionaries that we support. And if you were here last Sunday night, we talked through who our missionaries are. And that's great. It's great that we support missionaries as a church. We should do that. But how much more love does it demonstrate when you as an individual, as a family, separate to your tithing, support a missionary personally? How much more love does that speak? I know my parents, when we were on the mission field, my parents would talk about the churches that supported them. But the thing that encouraged them most was the individuals that supported them. The families that would write letters to them with a little bit of money in it, maybe some photos of their family. That was encouraging. The money that came from a church was needful, and it's great. And you know what? God uses the church in amazing ways. But if we want to demonstrate love, it's got to come from us as individuals. It's a blessing for them in that, for our missionary, when we sacrifice, but there's also a blessing in it for you when you sacrifice. God honors that. God blesses that. Here's another practical way that you can support a missionary. Go on a missions trip. Go on a missions trip. And I've heard all the excuses. It's too dangerous. I'm too busy. I have other commitments. I don't have time. I can't afford it. I don't know them. I'm too young. I'm too old. I have too many kids. I don't have enough kids. I'm waiting till I have kids. My kids are too young. My dog ate my homework. My money would be better spent other ways. What if I get sick? What if you put your excuses aside? And like they did, you just trust God. The same God that provides and protects them will provide and protect you. Maybe claim that verse as a personal promise. When I step out and I trust God, my God will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. Maybe our prayer would be, God, I'm just going to trust you. I don't have much time. I don't have much money. There are dangers that I don't understand, and I don't know how you're going to make this work. But God, I trust you, and I'm going to glorify you, and I'm going to go and be a blessing to that missionary. What if you are just what they need today? What if you are what they need tomorrow? What if you are the instrument that God uses to get them past that next difficulty? Let me speak for a moment from experience on both ends of that, both from the perspective of having been on the mission field as a kid in the village and having people come and visit us, and from the perspective of doing a missions trip. Here's the first thing: you don't need a big project to go on. Often we go, okay, well, what's the big project? I can line up with the big project, and it's fantastic that we're going and doing that one in PNG. I love that those guys, that Greg and Sam and those guys have jumped on board with that. That's absolutely fantastic. And God is going to be glorified through that work. He's already being glorified through that work. And it's going to be a huge blessing to them. But we don't need a big project to go on a mission trip. Just go and visit them. The most encouraging thing for my parents when people would come and they would just walk a mile in their shoes. Come and see what it is that we deal with. Come and see what it is that we eat. You might not go home the same, but come and see what it is that we eat, what we deal with, how we interpret the Bible into another language. Come and see all of that. Come and talk to us in our own language. Come and just hang out with our family and love our kids. Spend some time with them. Just listen to their stories. See the world for a moment through their eyes. But on the other side of that, I've gone on a few mission trips and I've had the opportunity to take most of my kids. I think I've taken all of my kids on mission trips. And there's nothing quite like being involved in a mission trip. There's nothing that encourages your heart, that challenges your heart, that convicts you. Maybe that's why we don't do them, because it does challenge our heart and it does convict us. But there's nothing quite like that when we step out and we do a mission trip. It's a blessing to us and it's a blessing to them. And I guarantee you will get more out of it than they will. Last one tonight. Pray that God would increase your heart for His mission. How do we love our missionaries practically? Pray that God will increase your heart for His mission. That's a scary prayer. Most of us are pretty happy where we are. And you might be the person that God goes, I want to use you. I want to use you in a way that I can't use anyone else. Here's the thing. If you pray that prayer and you're serious about it, be prepared to surrender as he works in your heart and as he leads. Don't pray that prayer for somebody else. Pray that prayer for your heart. God, give me a heart for your mission. God, give me a passion for your mission. God, give me a love for your mission. How can we love our missionaries? By loving what they love. By getting on board with them. Let's be a church that understands and wants to be part of God's mission. Let's be known as a people who are full of care, a church that's full of care. Let's be a people who will fight with them through thick and thin and carry the burdens of our missionaries. Let's be a people who love to sacrifice. Let me say that again. Let's be people who love to sacrifice for God's mission. Let's be a church that loves our missionaries. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, give us a love for what you love. Give us hearts that desire to grow and to be passionate about what you are passionate about. Give us minds that as we read your word, we look for your mission within your word. Father, help us to love our missionaries. Help us to care for our missionaries. Help us to carry their concerns and their burdens. Lord, help us to love our missionaries. Father, we're grateful for the men and the women, the families that you have given us to support. Father, the many people that have gone out, that this church has been involved in, that have had an impact far greater than we can ever imagine. And Father, we are grateful that you have allowed us to be part of that. Father, thank you for who you are, for what you're doing within this body. In Jesus' name, amen.